Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha, and today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to create comparison pages.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
To basically highlight you versus your competitor. So your business, your product versus a competitor.
Right. Well, first of all, I think the definition that you've already given is super useful. It's usually a landing page that compares your product or company with a direct competitor or multiple competitors, right? So maybe we'll break it down in this episode in terms of like, when should you use this kind of tactic? When is it effective? When isn't it? Is this something that you, when should you utilize it? Is this a pure SEO play where you try to drive traffic when people are searching for you versus a competitor? Or should you send these kind of, or use these kind of pages in the sales process, et cetera. And then also the kind of style. I've seen a ton of these comparison pages. Usually I'm not very impressed. So I'd love to do a little bit of a back and forth between you and how, like what are the different templates that are out there that companies use and how potentially to improve on those kind of standard boilerplate templates of comparison pages.
Yep.
All right. So let's start with who are these pages typically for? Like, who do we, if I have a SaaS product in a company or a startup, and I'm thinking, and I have competitors, when is it worth my time even thinking about building a comparison page?
Steli, you're going to love this. These pages are for search engines.
I thought you would say that. All right.
Yeah.
Give me more.
I mean, like, think about it, right? Like, this is the thing. Okay, let me go through the 101, and then we can get into like the good stuff, right?
Boom.
So, like, look, these pages are for search engines because people are typing in like things like, let's say, Zendesk alternative. In fact, Zendesk was so good at this that they created an alternative band. I just somehow retweeted something.
You
about
tweeted
it.
This? Yeah. I just saw this yesterday.
And at my company, one of my companies, we're like really digging into channels and B2B marketing, and we noticed that a while ago, but someone actually tweeted it recently. They did this back in like 2014 or something, I think. So number one, and they've been great at SEO. But number one, you do it for search engines so that you can get new visitors who are typing in things like, you know, some company name alternative. So like Zendesk alternative. And then so that leads to who you're really doing it for. You're doing it for these new visitors that have never met you before, essentially.
Hmm.
Or you're doing it for visitors who are Googling, who might have come to your site before, but they're trying to figure out the difference between you and a competitor. So like the alternative terminology is really about like, I'm looking for an alternative for a product. That's usually not somebody who is doing research on your product. They're doing research on a competitor and then you come up because you ranked in Google for it and you're an alternative. So that's number one is search engine, because like a search engines and then even things like Zendesk versus Help Scout. That page is also for search engines because if someone is evaluating which customer support tool to use, they might type that in Google, right?
Right.
So search engines, you're doing it for search engines. That's one of the main reasons or main type of visitor is somebody coming from a search engine. Another one is that sometimes you have people who come to your site and with most products, you don't know if they're using a competitor or not, but you can always ask if you really want to on your site. And then, so you could be doing it for a website visitor that's already on your website. That's about summarizes like why you would do this. And there's versions of this like Zendesk alternative. Then there's versions where what we're really talking about is comparison pages like Zendesk versus Help Scout to basically provide a page that shows the difference between the two products. And if you're a Help Scout and you have that page, I believe they have that page on their site. Let's talk about kind of how you do it, how you break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Well, so
I know you've thought about this.
Yes. So the one thing, so I'm not surprised that you said you're doing it for search engines because that's the main use case that I've seen comparison pages being used in. The thing that I'm oftentimes puzzled is when you click on one of those comparison pages and you can tell, hey, they did a good job at ranking high for this, for these keywords, right? And so they're probably getting, you know, high quality, very targeted traffic on this. But then the page itself is so obviously just written for a search engine that when you're trying to read, consume that content from a persuasion and sales point of view, I'm reading this and I'm not getting excited to now feel like your product is better, but I am actually getting bored, overwhelmed. I feel the urge to leave this page because it seems like worthless. If you actually want to like start reading the content or try to consume any of the content on the website, oftentimes it's not compelling content. And so I've been oftentimes thinking about this from the point of view of like, I wonder if many of these companies are overly optimizing to rank very high. And so ranking is the metric or the KPI they're gunning for. And once they rank high, they're kind of happy, but they're not really measuring how much of that traffic is converting to whatever the call to action is, the trial sign up or whatever else is that you're trying to do, and how long are people staying on that page? Because the content is oftentimes not that compelling. So that's the thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, which is the different types of content to make a comparison page truly compelling for a human once that human arrives on your page.
The thing is, search engines will keep you ranked if you are creating a shitty page. If you're creating a page that like people won't stay on, eventually your rankings will drop. So really, like, how to create a compelling page is almost pretty much act like you're unbiased and write a page that's the best page on the topic. And you do that by looking at all the other pages on the topic, because there will be other pages in most cases, and you create the best possible version of that page that exists that answers people's questions about the topic. And the topic in this case is the comparison of two softwares. And you'll see companies like G2 Crowd and other sites that are supposed to be unbiased, and they probably are by nature of what they do. They write these pages pretty well. So, you know, they include ratings of each company and any accolades for each company and things like that. Just to give an example, because everybody loves examples, my opinion is that the HubSpot versus Marketo page is a pretty good page on HubSpot, on HubSpot sites. If you type in HubSpot Marketo, you'll get their page. It's like one of the top three or five. You should check it out because, you know, in their case, HubSpot has really high ratings on G2 Crowd. So they're basically using that information on that page and framing it. And they're not talking about we or anything like that. They're literally acting like this is a HubSpot marketing software versus Marketo. And you might, I mean, if you read it, there is obviously bias because it's very heavily HubSpot oriented and the ratings are high, but like you don't really feel like you're on a HubSpot page with the way that they've written it.
Nice. So let's talk about that a little bit, like what makes it compelling, right? So there's multiple things that you can put in the way that you try to compare your product versus a competitor. Features are what seems to be a very obvious route, right? Comparing feature by feature, what does your product include or is capable of versus your competitors, right? And have that kind of the matrix that shows the checkpoints are all green on your side and a bunch of red on your competitor's side. So comparing features is one thing. Comparing pricing is another obvious route, right? How much do you have to pay for your solution versus a competitor's solution? But then there's other really interesting, compelling content that I think people can use. Here in the HubSpot example, they do a great job of using their rating, right? So very kind of early out of the gate, they're showing their G2 Crowd that they're a leader fall 2018 in marketing automation. And then right after, they show some kind of a Gartner per year inside customer's choice award that they got, right? So what do they do? They use social proof and credibility. They're like, look at these awards, look at these kind of third party vendor analysts that have come out and said that our product is better than, you know, the competition. So that's one. And then they use heavily quotes and customer references, right? And I would assume, I don't see this here, but I would assume if you could, you would want to even skew heavily towards a customer of yours that was used to be a customer of your competitors, right? Competitor X, and can give a relevant quote that says, I used to use whatever, Marketo, but we had X, Y, and Z problem. Since we switched to HubSpot, X, Y, and Z is amazing. I would, you know, tell every CMO to make the switch or something. Like, that is obviously super compelling, really, yeah, really powerful content when you have your customers saying that they prefer your product over the competition. They've tried both or they've been customers of both. What other stuff can you even have as like compelling content within comparison pages? One thing I'll throw out and then I'm curious to hear your thoughts before we wrap up this episode at this point is one thing I never see or very, very rarely are two things. One is actually highlighting kind of non-obvious things about the competitor, right? You know, sometimes the feature-to-feature comparison to me